We've been having this Advent retreat, and it has four Sundays. We're in the fourth Sunday now. Let's just recap. The first Sunday, we reflected on the beauty and vastness of God's creation, the gift that has been offered to us in creation, and particularly our own human nature born in the image of God. And then the second week is how we misused or abused that creation by sin. In our struggle against evil, we often lose, and it's kind of this recognition that evil is real, and that that we have our addictions, we have our passions, we have our inclinations that get in the way of our knowing and loving God. And then the third week, but God has come in Jesus to rescue us from our slavery to sin, to rescue us from the powers of evil and darkness, rescue us from death. And then today, the final week, the question, where do we go from here? Given all that, what's our response? And I think it's twofold. It's probably more than can be said here, but let's just pick out two things. One is, out of all creation, it all gives glory to God by being what it is. The cosmos with its vastness kind of reflects the infinity of God. The mountains by their height and the oceans with their vastness, they glorify God by being who they are, what they are. But there's no consciousness there. There's no love. There's no ability to give it back in a conscious way. The difference between humans and all the rest of creation, and in Genesis, you know, that sixth day, God has this frown on his face because all of this creation is unable to give back to him. And so he creates humans in his own image. Then they have consciousness. They can be aware of what's going on. They can appreciate the creation. They can appreciate God. They have freedom to choose, and they have the ability to love. And so they reflect God in a way that's more powerful than all the rest of creation, because they're in God's image. They can love like God. St. John's Gospel tells us that God is love, and anyone who abides in love abides in God and God in them. It's all about love, and humans are the only creation that's able to do that. And so our first response to all this is to love. It's to be aware of that gift and to receive that gift with an openness, and then to be willing to give it back by our very lives, by giving everything that we have and everything we are back to God in glory and praise and thanksgiving. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, I think, is the willingness to be formed by God. You know, that already happened, in a sense, when we were born, when we were conceived. Even before the world began, we were in God's mind. We were in God's heart. So the formation of ourselves has been going on for all eternity. But in time, in our lifetime, we are constantly being formed by God. It's not just about our birth, but it's about our baptism, our rebirth in Christ. And the reason we sign ourselves in that font over and over again is because while ritually baptism was celebrated only once for most of us when we were infants, but it's an ongoing reality. This rebirth, this recreation in Christ is an ongoing reality. But we have to be conscious of it, aware of it. We have to embrace it. We have to allow it to transform us. All liturgy, all prayer is about transformation into Christ. But if it's willfully against that, if we put up these blockages against that, and most of those blockages have to do with our own self-will, You know, Mary, in that gospel story, Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you who trusted that the Lord's words to you would be fulfilled." Mary allows herself to be formed by God because she trusts. She doesn't understand most of what happens to her. She spends her life pondering these mysteries and never really fully in knowledge and understanding. But she trusts. And Jesus, he gives over his will to the Father. "Not my will, but yours be done." Even Jesus, who is equal to the Father, allows the Father to form him. One of the marvels of the Trinity is that the Son and the Spirit, they're both equal to the Father, but they both allow themselves to proceed from the Father. They allow themselves to have an origin, even though they have no origin. If they can do that, how much more should we allow ourselves to be formed by God? Our own self-will gets in the way. We imagine who we want to be, who we think we should be, how we should look in the eyes of others. Spiritual writers call that the false self, the one we make up. It doesn't exist. It's only in our head. The real me is being formed by God. And what would make me think that I could form a me better than God can? I mean, the folly of that is just mind-boggling, isn't it? And yet, we all play that game. We're imagining this false self. And Mary, conceived without original sin, doesn't have a false self. She just trusts. She just allows God to form her and use her. Let it be according to your word. So where do we go from here? We allow ourselves to be formed by God. And for every person in this room, for every human that ever existed, it's a different story. Because nobody is exactly the same. And that makes it harder because there's no roadmap. I wish I could hand you a list of things, but I can't because it's unique to each of us. And so it takes prayer. It takes a prayer of openness, a prayer of letting go, a prayer of losing my false self. You know, when we lay down our lives in the liturgy, largely what we mean by that is we lay down the false self so that Christ can form in us our real selves that God has always had in mind for all eternity. Finally, that letter to the Hebrews, our second reading, says that it is in this will, you know, Jesus gives over his will to the Father, and it's in this will that we have our salvation. One of the follies of the law was that it gave the illusion that we could save ourselves. If we just do this list of things, if we avoid that list of things, then we will be saved. But it's in his will that we are saved. Let our will become his will. Lay down my will and allow it to be overtaken by his will. And that's salvation. That's the real me. That's the one that God has in mind. That's the one whose destiny is to share in the very glory of God forever.